good, everybody? It's your boy, O'Shea Duke Jackson, back at it again with another episode here, another great YouTube collaboration to make sure that you brothers like, comment, and subscribe. And before we kind of get further in there, I want to give everybody a round of applause, all you black men, the sound effect in the background, for tuning into this business show. I have one of my, you know, up-and-coming brother out of the loo, okay? Let him introduce himself and what his channel is about. Go ahead, family.
I am Accountant Jason Thornton. My channel is Pocket Watching with JT, Real Accountant Reacts. I'm a financial advisor. I'm licensed in both tax and financial planning. And basically what I do on my channel, I find different videos that are finance and business related, and I give my real reaction to it. Because a lot of times, anybody can upload a video on YouTube and they can try to give you advice on how to make money, how to retire, how to start a business. But honestly, like over 90% of it is BS. Sometimes clients send me these videos and they ask me, hey, can I do this? Can I do that? What do you think about this? And my channel is an outlet, gives me an opportunity to not just tell my personal clients at my firm, but I can tell the world what these videos are about, what these gurus are talking about. If they're on point, I'll let you know they're on point. But if they're off and they're crazy and they're just talking out their ass, I'll let you know.
All right. And hopefully we can get an episode with that, because there's a lot of bad financial advice also, you know, on the internet. But today, you know, because now I want to figure out your channel, because my brother Mediocre Tutorial is in reviews.
Yeah, right.
Yes. He's the first black guy in the red pill sector that I knew that blew up doing reaction videos. Okay. Mm-hmm. In a similar fashion, you're an accountant, and you review financial videos, which I've never seen anybody do, but you told me a really interesting story of how you started doing that. How did you become an accountant that reacts to financial information on the internet?
Yeah, so we live in a social media world, and my clients, my clients that are located in the city of St. Louis and clients all over the country, they will get something on TikTok, they'll see something on Twitter or YouTube, and they'll listen to it and they'll say, okay, this sounds like good advice, let me run it past JT, let me see. They'll text it to me and I'll look at the video, and I've got to break it down and explain to the client. I can't just say no, because I'm too talkative just to say, no, that sounds stupid, don't worry about it. I've got to break it down to them why it doesn't make sense, why the advice that they're getting from this person online is such bad advice that it borders on being illegal advice. And I got to explain to them why they shouldn't do this, because they could be breaking the law. And it got to the point where I was doing it so much that, hey, man, I might as well just do it online. Create my own YouTube channel and let the world know, and not just my private clients, let the world know that a lot of this stuff online is BS, what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing.
Okay, and I actually like that. I watched a few of your videos, but I want to talk about a comment you made, because obviously you have given me some topics, which I typically do. I ask a guest who's going to come onto the platform, what are some things that we can talk about? And we wanted to, I wanted to position this to topic to black men. You said one thing that actually gave us a topic we're talking about today, is that a lot of black men don't get any clout for spending their money responsibly in the black community.
Yeah,
that's very interesting, man. Why did you end up saying that?
Because it's crazy. So I was born in '83, so I'm dating myself. I remember an era when you would go to the strip club, you didn't make it rain, right? You would find a particular person and you know. But then when I was in college, all of a sudden it was the make it rain era where rappers, and it was just ridiculous. I didn't get it. And it's everything else in our culture, the type of cars that we're pressured to buy, the type of clothes that people buy, everything, accessories, watches, all these things. And that is not proper financial planning. And if you take a guy that the normal part of the culture would claim to be lame, or, you know, he doesn't have a lot of style, that person who probably, you know, buys their shoes less than $100, you know, I'm talking about tennis shoes. They might have some decent dress shoes, but they're not big and flashy, but they most likely have way, way more wealth. I'm talking about maybe 10 or 20 times the wealth of the guy who we think, based on the culture of TV, music, videos, and stuff like that, are that have a lot of money. The richest people that sit in this office, because this is actually my office, the richest clients that I have come and sit in my office, you would never think twice that they have as much money, because they do not spend their money on personal use assets. They're spending their money on investment assets. That's spending your money wisely. But you're not going to get a lot of clout. You can't parking lot pimp with a 401k that has $200,000 in it.
You know, preach to them now.
You don't get clout off that. The girls can't see that you have a retirement fund. They can't see that you're invested in Google or an index fund that's earning you 10 to 12% every year. But what they will notice when they get past the danger zone, what they will notice when you get to the point where it's time to settle down, they'll see the difference between a guy that lives in a studio apartment and all his money is for flash, and a responsible, you know, high value man that actually has all the things that they need to actually provide a quality lifestyle. They'll notice that, but it, at that point, it's almost too late. And guys following them end up broke and dusty at the end of their life because they're following the wrong advice. They're following after women. And what attracts them, instead of realizing what they really need, isn't the flashy stuff.
You know, I'm so glad. I know you're gonna break. I guess I can hear the loot coming out. I know we're gonna have a good show. I see the 314 coming out, player. I be trying to tell these niggas, excuse my language, but I try to tell them the same things. And obviously, shout out to Alpha Male Strategies. Are you familiar with him?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Alpha Male Strategies is one of the reasons why I went back so hard. I give him a round of applause, sound effect. And he's the one that told me about the Vanguard index funds. He didn't tell me about the SEP IRA, but I mean, with my YouTube channel, now that I got a lot of cash coming in, more so, or cash flow, if you would say that, I invested in that. But you're so right. A lot of guys don't understand the value of that. But you know, us, you was born in 83, I'm born in 81. You're like 37, 30, I'm like almost 40.
Right.
You know, we ain't, we been there, kind of done that.
Right.
You know, had a few, we had a few asses here and there, you know. But, you know, this other generation, man, which we were just in just 10 years ago as young black men, we are still relatively young. But, you know, look at some of the guys is 18 to 30. It's a lot of pressure on these young black guys because the girls, they don't come from the household where finance is talked to or talked about. So what is your advice, man, for a lot of these, we're going to go into your 50, 30, 20 rule, but what about the young guys that watch our channel, the young black men that are watching us? What would you tell them, you know, that's 18 to 30, testosterone level is real high, you know, ours, we ain't like we used to be, you know, we're going to keep it real.
Right.
We're just going to be honest about the shit.
Right.
But what would you tell these young guys, man, that are coming in, coming up, coming to college, stuff like that, and they still young, trying to get it? What would you say to the young black men out there?
Number one rule, you got to block out all the noise. The stuff that you're seeing online, the stuff that you're seeing on social media is for show. Stop comparing yourself to the BS that you see on your timeline, because it's not even real in the first place. You're going to end up spending a whole lot of money trying to replicate what you see online with guys who are renting cars. They're going to stores and, you know, getting fancy suits. And then after they do their shoot or after they do their video online, they're taking the suit back. You know, you got to, number one, block out all that stuff, because that stuff really does not matter. You want to make sure that you are focusing on your education and your career. And I'm not a snob to the point that says, hey, you have to go to a four-year degree college. We can be talking about trade school also, but you have to really be laser focused on getting and obtaining skills that will make you a higher wage earner or make you a business owner.
Don't hold on, say it again. I don't think they heard you, Pocket Watcher. Can you say that? We're going to do a mixtape. Go back. Say it again to them, player. They didn't hear that, player.
You need to be laser focused right now on obtaining the skills that will make you a high wage earner or a business owner. Because right now, this is grind time. This isn't the time for you to try to show off how much you really don't have. If you're 18 to 20 years old, anybody with any sense knows you don't have anything. And if you do have something, you probably didn't get it yourself. You probably came from a family that actually provided you with it. So you're not impressing anybody with your CEO on the bio of your Instagram page, because you're 18, 19 years old. What are you a CEO of? This is the time that you grind, you get the skill set that you need, you build a network of friends and associates that can help you rise up on that ladder of your career, because the time to shine is when you get to our level. When you get over 35 into your 40s and 50s, that's the time to be able to shine, because you actually had the time to build the wealth. So take that pressure off your shoulders, man. Nobody is putting pressure on you to be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company at age 17 through 25. Now is the time to actually grind and work, and you can't do that if you're throwing your money out trying to attract women who really gonna go to the guys who are at our stage of life anyway. So you're really wasting your time.
I'm just saying.
And money.
You niggas can't out trick me. So you gonna have. I got plenty of money. I ain't got African money. So what you talking about? But no, I'm glad that we sent it to the young brothers, man, because, you know. One thing, my granddaddy wasn't a financial advisor. He wasn't that smart. He's from Lincoln, Missouri, matter of fact.
Okay, that's what's up, yeah.
He's from Lincoln. He said, but there's two things in life I know is always going to be here. Water and women. He said, keep your head in them books. I'm trying to tell all the guys out there. And if you're an older guy out there, you know, because you see my boy Paul Pierce is out there with the strippers and stuff at 43, tricking it off. Well, that's another story, man. But, you know, a lot of times with black men and money, even myself, you know, I have to come back to the basics, you know, because I work real hard in this business. So do you.
Right.
And then, you know, a lot of brothers, sometimes with our people, we got to really get back to the basics. And I like how your plan is basic for finance. You say it never changes no matter where you go. What is that plan? Right. Talk about that plan, brother.
It's real simple. You can find it almost anywhere out there. It is a 50-30-20 rule. So when we take a look at the money you got, it's 100%, right? All the money that you make, that's 100%. To make it real simple for everyone, you want to spend 50% of the money that you make on your needs, the stuff that you got to have to survive. So we're talking about your housing costs, maybe your car note, food, clothing, shelter, 50% of what you make on that. If you're spending more than that, you are overextended, right? You're trying to present a persona and some sort of front that you cannot really support. So 50% max on the stuff that you need to survive. Now you have 30% that you can spend on your wants, the luxury items, the fun, the things that make life worth living. And then lastly, you have 20% left. And with that 20%, you save. And the way that you save, you don't immediately invest. Just because you got that 20% left, you can't invest just yet. What the CFP board, and that's the Board of Financial Planners, we advise that you have to at least, bare minimum, have 3 to 6 months worth of your every month hard bills. We're talking about the food, clothing, shelter bills. You need an emergency savings fund before you even invest, because when emergencies happen, normally that's the time when your investment probably isn't at the height of where you can pull your money out. So you need to at least have 3 to 6 months of your emergency savings funds, your monthly bills that you need to survive, so you don't get kicked out on the street, where your car doesn't get repossessed. If you have 3 to 6 months of that saved up, that's your number one savings account, your emergency savings fund. After you secure that, now we can talk about investing your money for the long term, so you don't die broke, so that, you know, the only income you have coming in at age 65 is Social Security.
Listen to what he said. And I know that's true, because even for me, it's not uncommon, man, for me to pay my rent for 6 months at a time, ahead of time, just to get it out the way.
Yeah.
You know,
you got that pressure off you.
Right. I got rent in Poland and in Uganda. I pay ahead of time 6 months out the way, like, boom, there you go. Okay. Right. And I try to save, you know, a lot of my stuff. But I haven't always done that, man. But again, it's not sexy. And you know, a lot of brothers, man, is, and I ain't gonna lie, I like my little StockX account. I like to get my little nice little shoes and things like that.
Right.
But you know, it goes back to the women, man, and a lot of black men, because, you know, it's a hard, long path to get to become an accountant or a medical doctor or a business owner. Those right. things are very hard. And in the black community, we're going to be honest, a lot of women that are, you know, attractive, that look good, you know, it's going to be, it's hard to compete mm-hmm. when, you know, they ain't really trying to talk to you like that, man. How did you deal, maybe as a personal testimony to you, when you're coming up trying right. to study and stuff, how did you deal with that, you know, working, trying to go to school as a young black man, mm-hmm. trying to overcome and dealing with women while you were trying to get to where you were going?
Well, first off, I'm going to admit at the beginning that I come from what I would consider a privileged situation. So my mother and my father, business owners all my life. So when I was 9 years old, my father put me into his office and I was the bookkeeper for the family business since nine. Right. So I've been doing this all my life. I was bred to do this. And he taught me at a very young age that you can lose a lot of money chasing women, but you will never lose a woman chasing money. Mm-hmm. So I never lost the focus. So I actually met my wife in college. So we were, you know, within the same plan, the same mindset. We come from very similar backgrounds. We both come from a household where both of our parents were involved in our lives, in the household, married. Mm. So it wasn't really an issue with me. But I mean, guys, you will lose a whole lot of money chasing mm-hmm. women. But mm-hmm. if you chase money and you focus on your career, you'll never lose any woman of significance chasing the money.
I'm glad you said that, of significance.
Right.
Why did you say that? Because it's important. A lot of guys need to hear that. Why did you say significance?
Because, you know, some girls, they're not going to have a full view, right? They're going to think, okay, you need to spend time with me. We need to go out on these trips. A woman of significance is the marriage quality woman, right? A woman that you just want to have fun with. Yeah, she's not going to understand that she can't go or you can't take her out on trips every other weekend because you're grinding. Remember, we're talking about that age from 17 all the way up to 26 or to 30. These are grind years. These are the years where you're accumulating as much investment assets as you can, and you're accumulating as many skills as you can to be a high wage earner or a business owner. So a fun girl isn't going to understand that, but a fun girl isn't supposed to be your wife anyway. So, you know, a fun girl you're just going to be with for a short period of time. So if she's frustrated, if she can't understand what the bigger plan is, she wasn't supposed to be with you anyway. So you shouldn't lose any sleep about losing a fun girl.
Let me talk about this, because, you know, I'm a you know, because you have the pocket watching with JT channel, and I'm gonna put you to the test, man. I mean, I like what you're doing, but, you know, we're gonna find out.
All right, yes, sir.
If you know what the fuck you're talking about, we're gonna find out, right? We're gonna find out, nigga. Let's say I'm a guy. I'm gonna give you a scenario. All
right.
Okay. Now I'm making $80,000 a year. I'm a mm-hmm. trucker. Okay. I'm from the Loop. I moved to the Loop.
All right. You
know, I'm out there with Nelly in there. Okay. Now, okay, I know I got the emergency fund. I'm age 25. Editors, put that on the screen. We're going to make it like it's real, okay? 25 years old, mm-hmm. okay, and I'm doing this things. And so, do you need to know if I got any debt or anything like that?
All those things go into play. But I'm going to assume that you have probably minimal debt, because the only debt you probably have is going to be that truck. Right. You probably financed that truck. You probably don't have student loan debt that we need to worry about right now. So let's just assume that you just got the debt of the truck. But that truck is an income generating asset. So we're not worried about that. That's making enough money for you. You have the 3 to 6 months emergency fund. So what do we need to do? Well, if you're making 80 as a truck driver, we'll probably need to take a look at how you have the business structured. Because if you have the business structured as a sole practitioner right now, you're going to be getting hit with 15.3% of self-employment tax on mm-hmm. all of that money, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not including the income tax on that money. We're just talking about the Social Security and Medicare tax on that money. So if you're making 80, I'm probably going to take a look and say, we need to file and elect to be taxed as an S corporation. Right. So if we file and have you taxed as an S corporation, we can issue you from the company a W-2 for, let's say, you make about $40,000 or $30,000 a year as the driver of your own company. But the rest of the money you're earning because you own the company. So there's a big difference between the amount of money. When you own your own company, you should be able to show a difference between the amount of money that you earn because you actually work in the company and the amount of money that you make based on the fact that you own the company. And the amount of money that you make based on the fact that you own the company should not be subject to self-employment tax, and that's 15.3%. So if you're making $100,000, that's $15,300, right? So let's avoid paying taxes on that amount of money that you make because you own the company by shifting your tax strategy from being a solo practitioner, maybe simply just an LLC, and we're gonna get you taxed as an S corporation where we issue you a W-2 for the amount of work that you do as the driver. But the amount of money that you make because you own the company is going to flow through and around the self-employment tax. So that's probably the number one thing that I'm going to talk about. Then I'm going to see, well, let's start building for retirement. Now, I know that you have a SEP plan. So when you have a SEP IRA, that is a simple pension plan for small companies that only have a few employees or just the one employee who owns the company. The limitations on that SEP is you can contribute up to 25% of the wages of that employee. So if I make $100,000 for my SEP plan in a company that I own and I'm the only employee of it, I can contribute up to $25,000 to that plan, which is great. But it also kind of limits how much money I can put in it based on the amount of money I make. What I would probably do in this situation is have us take a look at setting up a solo 401k. With the solo 401k, the limitations are different. You can put up to $19,500 no matter how much money you make. If you only made $20,000, you can still put in $19,500, and that's just as the employee side. The employer side of the equation can still contribute up to 25% of the net income of the business, pushing your limitation up to $56,000. So we would probably go there, because with that, not only are you putting money away for retirement, you are also reducing the overall income the overall income on your tax return that's going to be taxed. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there on the online that talk about a Roth IRA, and there is a great time and a great place for a Roth IRA. So a Roth IRA is the opposite of a traditional retirement account. A traditional retirement account, if I make $100,000 this year and I put $25,000 away in that account, I would only have a taxable income of $75,000 now. And then when I retire, when I'm 59 and a half, when I'm 60, and I pull that $25,000 out, I'm taxed then. With a Roth, it's the complete opposite. I make $100 now, I put $25 in. You're probably not putting that much in, but for this example, I put $25 in, and then I won't be taxed when I pull it out. Now that sounds great, but in financial planning, what we know is a majority of the people who retire, you're gonna be in a lower tax bracket when you retire than when you're making your money as a wage earner or even as a small business, right? So if I'm making $100,000 right now as a small business owner, when I retire, I probably only need about $70,000 a year to live off on. So the question is, when do you want to be taxed on that money? When your tax bracket is at its highest, or when your tax bracket is at its lowest? Now, there are some people who, when they retire, they're in a higher tax bracket when they made money. But that's a small percentage of people. Most people, when you retire, you're going to be living annually off of less amount of money than you were when your prime earning age. So those are the things that I would probably work with the client, would also see if he has children that need to set up for a education fund. Those are the full spectrum of what financial planning is. It's budgeting, it's investing, it's tax planning, it's education planning, and lastly, it's estate planning. Estate planning, the best way to think about that is legacy planning. How are you going to pass on all the stuff that you got to the people who you love when you're gone? That's estate planning. Are you going to give it to the church that you belong to? Are you going to give it all to your kids? Are you giving it to your nieces, nephews? You need to figure that out, because if you don't have an estate plan, The people who are going to figure out where your stuff go is going to be the state. It's going to be some court. It's going to be your family fighting each other. So you need to have each one of these things in place. And, you know, as a quick shot, I need to let you know, I learned all of this at Howard University School of Business Financial Planning Program. So I'm not just talking off the top of my head.
Shout out to the real AQ.
Right.
Brother, man, I one last thing. Shout out to Alpha Male Strategies, because one of the things he talked to me about was index funds. You do index funds also?
Yeah, any financial advisor worth his salt should admit to anybody who's willing to listen that the average person and the greatest financial advisor in the world are horrible at picking individual stocks. Horrible at picking individual stocks. Picking winners and losers of individual stocks is not what we're in the business of. So the best thing that you can do if you want to park your money is just simply put it in an index fund. An index fund is basically a company, a financial company that basically creates a product. They create a product that is made up of a bunch of different companies within a particular index. So the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is the top 500 companies in the U.S. Now, you can try to bet on one or two or three of those companies, but if you simply just put your money in an index fund with the S&P 500, you know basically you're going to be earning anywhere between 8 to 12% a year. Stop trying to bet on individual companies. Simply put your money in an index fund. Just sit it there and let it grow, because your money is going to reflect the market. And while there's dips, while there's recessions, while there's bad times, if you take a timeline from the beginning of the market to the end of the market, it always trends up. It's a roller coaster. Sometimes it dips, but it comes back after 3 or 4 years. Maybe it dips again, it comes back. You're investing for your retirement. You're not investing for the next 2 years or 5 years. You're investing for the time that you get to 65. So for most of the working people, we're talking about 20, 30, maybe 40 years. So just invest in an index fund and stop trying to outsmart the market, because some of the greatest financial advisors in the world can't beat it. And if we can't beat it, the average Joe on the street can't beat it.
All right. Well, I know I'm about to get my Vanguard on. You know, you do my little $3,000 buy-in, but God, brother, you really have done a really great job, man. I knew you was going to bring it. Tell everybody, man, what they should expect from your YouTube channel, man, if they watch it, and what kind of information will you be providing over on Pocket Watcher for JT?
Yeah, absolutely. What you're going to get from my channel, you're going to get a raw, unfiltered reaction from me to videos that you probably seen online on Twitter, YouTube, TikTok. These people who are trying to present themselves as financial experts, but at the end of the day, they're trying to sell you something. They probably got some sort of course to sell you, some mastermind session. All of that stuff is BS. I wouldn't buy a course online that's more than $250. I'd rather go to your local community college and get some sort of certificate, some sort of degree, or something that can actually improve your skill set, something that you can put on a resume that will actually get you through the door of actually getting a job. But what you get with Pocket Watching with JT is my raw reaction to all the financial stuff that's out there on the internet. And I have a lot of fun. I laugh at people, but if they got good points, I will, you know, let you know that this is a good point, but I will also let you know where the BS is. And, you know, that's my job. I am Pocket Watcher number one. If they want to reach out to me, I have a website that I'm just putting up, which is pocketwatcher.net.
Okay. All right. And we'll put all the information there. And brother, we definitely got to do this again. Thank you for coming on, guys. Check him out in the first comment pinned to the top. Pocket Watching with JT. And as you know, the buffoonery remains at an all-time high. I'm out.